Hello and welcome to True Romance. This is Carolina Barlow.
This is Devin Leary.
I am so excited today on the pod. We have my former boss slash mentor slash one of my closest friends, Leslie Headland, writer, director, star, and her wife, the actress and famed socialite, Rebecca Henderson. I really wouldn't be here on the podcast were it not for Leslie Headland taking
That's
a chance
true.
On me. It
That's
really,
true.
None of us would be here.
None of us would be here.
I'd be dead in the gutter somewhere.
Well, I wouldn't be here if Carolina hadn't made sure I ate food.
Leslie
and drank
did not
water.
Eat when we met. That is true. That is true. It's remarkable how healthy she is. And I do think Rebecca's a part of that because Rebecca, if I'm correct, would be the one who is like, Leslie hasn't had a cigarette in 3 months. And Leslie used to absolutely eat cigarettes for breakfast.
Oh, I would eat
dinner.
Them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And how long has it been now? How long has it been now, babe?
Oh, babe, it's been a long time. I mean, 5 years, 6 years now smoking?
Oh, wow.
Seven?
Six. Maybe. I think it's seven. Actually, I think it's seven like this spring or something like that. Yeah.
And
I just wanted to say that you
spring.
Are right about that, her being a famed socialite, Rebecca Henderson. Because Natasha Lyonne once called her the Alice B. Toklas of our time. And I think that's exactly the way to describe my wife, Rebecca Henderson. I mean, there is not a person creating art right now who doesn't know who she is.
Not just doesn't know who she is, but the amount of actresses and stars alike who have told me that Rebecca Henderson is their, quote, best friend has been alarming. And I don't want to tell them, like, you're not the only one who says that, though. They're like, Rebecca isn't just my friend. She changed my life. She helped me set boundaries with my parents. She is the person who has guided me towards recovery in some area of my life. And I'm like, has she said hi to you tonight, though? Like, does she know that? But
Does she know you're here? Does she know you're at this party? Exactly.
They're, I'm like, where did you guys meet? And they're like, oh, we did a play together 6 years ago. And I'm like, wow.
Okay. When she and I first started dating, it was as if I were dating the mayor of New York City. I mean, we would be out and people would come up to her and be like, Rebecca, hi. I just saw you in that play. Or they'd be like, hey, I just, you know, I took your advice about that thing we were talking about. Or like, how's your sister doing? Or like, blah, blah. I was like, how does this woman know everyone? Like, everybody knows her.
Yeah.
What's the secret to your success? The people who stay indoors want to know, Rebecca.
Probably just being scared to be alone with my thoughts.
How did you guys meet, though? Because I don't know that.
You don't know this story?
I don't know that story.
I was at karaoke with one of my best friends, and I was singing Because the Night, Patti Smith, and Leslie walked in. And I thought, this is the most beautiful lesbian I've ever seen. And then I thought, she's going to be my wife. And I got goosebumps all over my body. I was in a relationship. So was she. And that was like, and I didn't forget about her for a couple of years. And then when my boyfriend and I broke up, I was like, get the word out, New York. And I was friends with Natasha Lyonne and Hallie Pfeiffer, who are two people who are very close to Leslie. And I was like, tell Leslie that I have a huge crush on her. And we were supposed to meet a couple years earlier. My boyfriend and I were going to go to can you believe it? I had a boyfriend.
I can't, but continue.
Can you fucking, I can't even, like, the word when it comes out of my mouth now. Like, I've dated lots of guys, but like now I'm just, it doesn't seem right.
Well, I think I knew Leslie when she was quote unquote straight, looks to camera, before she got her Harley Quinn lesbian tattoo on her upper arm. But it was so funny because everyone would be talking to me like, I'm dating this guy. And Leslie would be like, I'm dating this stupid, ugly motherfucker who's a piece of shit.
Yeah.
I'm like,
yeah.
Oh, so how's that going? She's like, I hate him. I hate myself when I'm with him. Everything, like, he's the worst. And it was like, and it's so funny. Like, there were so many of our friends were in the closet at the time. It just didn't. We're like, oh yeah, men, boo, they suck. And then there are our friends who were obviously gay and came out later who are like, no, I physically can't look at men. They disgust me so much. And friends who would avert their eyes at men in diners. And in retrospect, I'm like, yeah, that's gay behavior.
That's how Leslie ended up asking me out. Like, I asked her out and we went out and it was super weird. I was like, what is going on? And then I texted her and I was like, you know, so like, I kind of want to go out on a date where at the end of it, we're like kissing. And she was like, right. I can't do that right now. And I was like, cool. Why don't you get back to me when you can do that? And she was Aww. Like, I will. And Aww. Then several months later, yeah, I mean, she's amazing. Highly recommend dating, you know, somebody with the boundaries of Leslie Headland, but truly. So several months later, she came to see me in a play. And then we were hanging out afterwards in a big group. And she was like, oh, she was talking about men. And she was just like, oh, this fucking guy, son, this fucking guy. And I was like, God, what kind of guys do you like? And she was like, funny, you should ask. Do you want to go out next Saturday? And I was like, like in front of the whole table.
I love this. I love this, like, so yes. much. Chills, chills, chills.
She would it's only go out chills. With me one day a week for 2 months. I was like, when are we going out again? And
smart, she
was like,
though.
Yes, it was. And she'd be like, let's meet next Saturday for breakfast. I was like, breakfast? Like, I, you know, and she never came to my house. I never went to her house. Like, it was like just a very healthy beginning. And then a year later, she proposed.
Slow is smooth and smooth is fast. Yeah. Look I remember, at it. Rebecca, Look at you it. Were talking about how Leslie texted, how she was like a bad texter when you guys were during your courtship.
Yeah, it was a nightmare. I would be like, something so sweet, and she'd write back K, just a letter. I was like,
Leslie.
And then I'd have to talk to my friend. Yeah, my friend would help me write the first one. I'd get a K, and then I'd be like, oh my God. And then I'd have to like try to figure out the next thing. And eventually, it was like dog memes, which really got her to respond.
Okay.
Yeah. And then eventually, she was in the edit for one of her films, and I was like, when you go into the edit, can you just tell me, because I think you're dead for 8 hours.
Right.
So if you just let me know, you're not going to be available. And she was like, what do you want me to do? And I was like, I just
want to. So you're obsessed with me staying alive?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
And then she did it. And then she did it. Listening. She was like, fine, I will do it. And then she did. And it was so much better.
That's so interesting. I feel like I'm just learning how to ask for simple things like that. Like, oh, I need you to call me once a day. So that I know that we are together.
Uh-huh.
Because prior to that, I was like, I'm obsessed with you. I'm so crazy. I want to see you once in a while. I want to eat a meal once a week. And then when was your first kiss?
We went to go see that weird Dennis Hopper movie.
Yeah. Leslie was scouting.
Out of the Blue.
Yeah. We went to see Out of the Blue, which we didn't really like watching. And then we walked in the direction of my house. I was like, ooh, we're gonna make out of my house. And then we didn't. Then we kissed on like a street corner or something. I think the first time we went out, we ended up on like a bench near NYU and, you know, and and I was like, I'm too shy to kiss you.
Oh my gosh.
She was like, thank God. I think she was also, she was also kind of scared. Kay. But then, I think on our third date we kissed, and it was kind of funny because she dropped her umbrella, but it sounded like her cell phone. And she was very stressed out that while we were kissing that her cell phone was like in the rain on the ground.
Oh, that is a nightmare. That is a nightmare.
Yeah. That is.
But it was terrible. It was terrible.
And then she literally was like, bye. She got in a cab and left. She was like, great. Bye. Thank you.
I'll be thinking about this for the next 72 hours nonstop.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Except it was 7 days because she wouldn't see
tell
me
them
again
about the 7 days. Babe, tell them about the email you sent me. You
sent her an email. Beautiful email.
That's a nightmare.
She still hasn't written back. I sent her an email. I was doing some like theater workshop somewhere, and I was like, I think I'm falling in love with you, basically. And she never ever wrote back. She also left the country without telling me. And I was like, where are you? She was like, St. Lucia. I was like, where'd you go?
Is that a new neighborhood in the Lower East Side?
Yeah.
Leslie, can you explain some of this?
It really doesn't sound good. And let me just tell you, I don't have too much of a defense at all. I really don't. Mostly when she retells these stories, what I think is like, I had never, ever, ever, ever publicly dated a woman. You know, I had only hooked up with women at parties, usually drunk, and usually they were my friends or people I would never see again. Meaning like they were my straight friends, like my straight friends wouldn't want to talk about it, so I wouldn't have to talk about it, or they were women I would just never see again. So the the concept of like dating a woman was so difficult for me to even understand like what was going on, like the level of openness that she was expressing and like straightforwardness and the things that she needed. Like this was like, I might as well have been in a country where I didn't speak the language. I was just like, I don't understand. The only thing I could think was, I know how to do my side of the street, meaning my boundary. Like, I know what I need, so I can just, I'm just gonna do what I need to do. And then she, being the genius and emotionally brilliant person that she is, very clearly stated the things that she needed. And I was like, oh, okay. So, and it was hard for me. Like, you know, when she asked me to text back, she was like, hey girl, so text me back when I text you, you know, like,
right,
yeah. And I felt bile, like come up into my, like, into my throat. The other thing was, is that knowing that Rebecca is the Alice B. Toklas of our time, mm-hmm. I knew she was not a girl that I could just kind of hook up with and not talk to again. Like it's right. Like, you know, she was just the type of person that like, even though she was being very communicative and saying, I'm really into you. I was like, I can't just reciprocate and then like try to ghost later. Like I have to really be
right.
So if I just didn't know what to say, I just wouldn't respond, which now that I think back on it, it's so stupid, but I just didn't know how to respond. I was right. Like, I don't know what, like that email, I was like, I truly don't know what to say because I'm still trying to wrap my head around the concept of telling my parents I'm gay. Like, I'm still right. Trying to like, I was like, I don't, I'm worried family members aren't going to talk to me anymore. And that's right. Not anything she would understand would going, I mean, I'm a 30 something year old woman at that point. So it's kind of like, you know, she hasn't, like, I don't know if you dated somebody that was as closeted as me, babe, but you definitely had not dated someone whose parents were as homophobic as my parents are. Like, it was like,
yeah, I don't think I ever dated anyone who was closeted. So it was definitely a new experience for me. And I came out at, you know, at 15, 16 with parents who were like, great. So it was really, really intense. Yeah, it was really intense. And, you know, obviously, yeah, difficult for Leslie.
I think something that's really interesting is the idea that we are all have an intellectual idea of what we want. So love, connection, nurturing. And but what we really want is what's familiar. So if that's unfamiliar, you do have the bile. You do have the, oh, like, no, this is wrong. I want you to disappear randomly. I want you to stop talking to me. I want to find out you're dating someone new in the middle of us dating. And then I'll feel comfortable and then I'll feel at home. And so I do think it takes a second for your brain and soul really to be comfortable with the fact of being loved if you're used to relationships that are based primarily on fear. And when you're used to like relationships where nobody says what they mean really, and it's a power struggle, if someone is giving up that power and just being like, I have feelings for you, I'm feeling so vulnerable, I love you, I totally understand the feeling of like, well, I can't deal with that because I don't know what that is. Like, that is a different language.
It's like Rebecca says, like, you know, I recommend somebody date like somebody with like my boundaries or whatever, but like I recommend that people who are dating advocate for themselves the way that Rebecca did, because Rebecca was just like, yeah, I don't like this, you know?
Right.
It was just very like, you're right. Like there's a level of like open communication and availability. I think when you're in your 20s is like, ew, you know, you're like, yeah. Why would I want to date like someone who's like openly communicating and super available to me? Like, why would I want to do that? I want like mystery and drama and problems, you know, like, and right. Rebecca was just always like all through people like hearing through the grapevine of friends of being like, hey, Henderson's into you, blah, blah. Like even that kind of creeped me out. I was like, why would somebody tell somebody that they were interested in, you know, like, why would somebody do that? And now, you know, 15 years later or whatever, you know, I'm always saying that to people. They're like, I think so-and-so's cute. I'm like, well, tell them, or like, tell their friends, or like, you know, like just be open about it. Why not? You know, they're like, no, my God. You know, it's like, so she's just, we would not be together if she hadn't just decided that that's what was going to happen.
Well, speaking of being together, you both call each other babe. That is your honey, sweetheart, et cetera. Explain the genesis.
Yeah, we've always had cute names for each other. I think, you know, not necessarily baby talk, but like sweet words that are shared between couples can be a very good way to navigate tension. And it's something that we've always sort of naturally done. I mean, babe is not something that we say to avoid tension, but like we have little things that we do that are very, I think, very cute. but yeah, we have even inscribed in our rings, we have the names that we sort of used to, I think I used to call her little one. Aww. She called me sweet pea or something. So we have these inscribed in our rings, but yeah, we have a new thing. Should we tell them about our favorite new thing?
Yes, but wait, let me tell the one more babe story. But yes, you should tell them the new thing. The
people
new thing
come up to me. People come up to me on the street in LA sometimes and they're like, I'm sorry, I only know you as babe. I worked with Leslie Headland. I'm like, oh my God. But it's kind of a good name, like Babe Headland.
Cool.
Like,
yeah,
we should have a baby called Babe.
Chic.
Yeah.
I was having like a dinner with an actress. I think it was Marissa. I think it was Tomei. And and she was like, sorry, is your wife's name Babe? Like, I was like, no, it's
for that, her name.
But I was telling you the story of Pally, this couple that we were hanging out with. He was like, so you call your wife Babe, like third person, like Babe. And I was like, yeah. he was like so enthralled by it, like as if it was this kind of like baller move, like, which I guess it kind of is. But I think it started out, I don't know if you know this about, I think you know this about me, Carolina. It's like, I always shorten people's names, always, like even if people have specifically said like, I'm Michael, do not call me Mike, I'll be like, Mike, come here, you know, like
Mike.
my best friend in the world is Melissa, and I call her Mel. Everyone in the world calls her Mel now, except but like, and no one had ever called her that before me. I just shorten everybody's name. So I think Babe may have started truly as a shortening, like instead of Rebecca, or you know, like just going Babe, Babe, Babe. But it does make me sound like Sue Mengers or something. Like, it definitely makes me sound like an agent from the 1970s to be like, so Babe, Babe. Like, or like Kurt, like, you remember when Kermit the Frog dresses up as an agent in The Muppets Take Manhattan? That's me. Like, you know, just like.
That's so funny because I frequently feel like Miss Piggy when she's like has a modeling contract and she's becoming a movie star with like the skeezy studio exec. And she's like, excuse me? Like, she's just so addicted to the limelight. I feel that way all the time. I'm like, I fall asunder to the forces at play in this evil industry with one compliment.
Yeah, I think my Hollywood, like, totem is Kermit the Frog in Muppet Takes Manhattan. Like, he's like, oh, I think I hear my beeper. You know, and he, like, runs away. Like,
right.
It's like, that's me.
So funny. As one of my friends who saw you guys once at a restaurant said, like, oh, they're in the gay mafia. Like, you're in the gay mafia of New York and L.A. Like, at Leslie and Rebecca's wedding, there was a table of just every working actor in Broadway right now. We were like, if this place gets hit by a bomb, the New York theater industry is going to collapse on itself. We'll be fucked.
There was a table I was kind of like, wow, this was not, it didn't mean for this to be a flex, but it is. It's a pretty big flex.
It really is. Before I knew you guys were even going to be on the pod, but I was thinking of one of the most pure moments I've ever seen is, it was Peter Gabriel, I believe, Rebecca, you walked down the aisle to. Is it a Peter Gabriel song? And I looked behind me to see you walk down and your eyes were just full of tears, just looking around at all your friends and family. And I was like, it was almost too much for me to see. I was like, this is the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. Like, you guys were like, it was like this perfect wedding, not frou-frou, like cool in a warehouse in New York. And the food was good. And like the dancing was so much fun. But you guys looked so just adorable. And like these little like white dresses together. It was just a ball. Leslie told me, we want you to make a speech at our wedding. And I was like, wait, was I not going to make a speech at their wedding until this moment? Like, I knew I was going to a wedding and I knew that like a microphone was going to be nearby. And I was like, thank God. Honestly, thank God I don't know how to sing, because there'd be so many unsolicited songs I would have broken out to at public events like that. I just carry a mic in my purse.
You were the real person, I think, that saw, at least in my life, that saw us because you know, Rebecca has friends. I don't really have friends. I think it was, you were really the person who saw our courtship. Like, you mm-hmm. were the person that saw it, like up on my side, like who saw it like up close and saw how she affected me and the kind of change that she brought out. You knew my experience dating men and how unhappy mm-hmm. I was. And like, it's so funny because I would date men and describe them exactly the way you just said, Carolina, or they would just be these kind of like very passive, like friends. Do you know what I mean?
Like, or people that you would be like, ew, they keep calling me like the loser, like get away from my house. And I was like, I don't know if that's like how you want to date.
they're trying to date you. And I'm like, oh God, he's, oh my God. Like, pathetic. What is wrong with him? Like, and you got to, yeah.
I think it's so weird. I'm just watching you, Leslie, and listening to you. And I'm just thinking it's so weird that like she walked in a door and I knew who she was. Like, I'd seen her plays. Like, I knew who she was, you know, she walked in the door and I had this like, you know, I don't believe in God or whatever, but I heard a voice in my head that said, she's going to be your wife. Like, I mean, I could start crying right now. What the hell is that?
I've had a similar experience as well. I've left a party thinking I'm going to fall in love with the person I was just speaking to. And mm-hmm. I do think there's a little bit of real recognizing real, like, okay, whatever mm-hmm. that was, I think that is rare. And I think I need that forever. Like, I think you don't have to believe in God, but I think there's some mystery and how we got here and where we came from and whatever that mystery has, it has a little bit of, there's a seed of recognition when you meet someone that you're supposed to be with, I think.
Yeah. And I guess we don't know necessarily how it will all play out, but it was in the early days of us dating, which was hard to navigate because Leslie hadn't dated a woman publicly before and all that stuff. Right. I still just sort of felt like, I'm just going to stick around for a bit longer and just see what this is. Cause I really am really interested in what this is. And I had that little voice. So I'm glad.
And that's the thing
too,
right? Where when things get hard or like confusing, there is that voice that's like, I'm not going to give up on this yet because I'm smart enough to know like how rare this is.
Yeah.
Yes. I want true
romance. One thing I think is really interesting about your relationship is that Leslie, you know, is one of the greatest directors that's working right now. Whenever I talk to anyone, I always flex that I used to work for Leslie Headland. And when I started working for Leslie, she had a cigarette in hand at all times, yelling at on the phone and the other. She was this like dark, moody playwright who wrote about like the depths of being a female and staying alive in this world. And it was why her stuff was so powerful and relatable and just wonderful. I mean, Bachelorette should be studied in film school. It's incredible. And Sleeping with Other People is actually a film about sex addiction, much more so than that Michael Fassbender film.
And by the way, I just want to say, for people who are listening to this and dating, if someone says Sleeping with Other People is their favorite movie, run.
Run.
You know what I mean? Because like, there's a problem.
They're like, oh, I identify with the characters in Sleeping with Other People. It's like, so you're going to ruin my life.
Yeah, exactly.
That's so funny, though, because I know multiple people who have said, oh, you worked for Leslie Headland. Sleeping with Other People is my favorite movie.
Are they all insane?
No, they're lovely.
Okay.
Because it is a lovely romantic comedy and it has true heart in it. But I just thought that was like, Leslie, we'll all say fucked up stuff at dinner, but Leslie's going to beat us all, et cetera, et cetera. Like, Leslie's going to get us sued by HR, you know. And then Leslie and Rebecca are together, and Rebecca brought out this part of Leslie that I truly believe is like a healer. When I've gone through dark shit and gone to Leslie, as you would go to your friend who will be like, oh, yeah, fuck them. That sucks. Go do the wrong thing. And Leslie's been like, girlfriend, what's wrong? Why are you talking like that?
This is absolutely true. And I can say without reservation and not even like, I can say this, how I don't know how long we've been dating. How long have we been together? 8 years into being with this person. Like, Rebecca has 100% made me a better person. Like, I am a better person now. End of story. Yeah. I mean, that's why telling the stories of our dating is so funny, because usually people have the opposite kind of storyline, like, of like, we were so in love, right? And then we got married and everybody, there was all this kind of like energy and stuff around our relationship. And then it kind of like, we were together and we had kids and it started to, you know, like, and blah, blah, blah. I have had the absolute exact opposite experience with my wife. I mean, it was at first, I was so trepidatious. I was so nervous. I was so scared. I mean, I wanted to be Dorothy Parker when I was like 12. Do you know what I mean? Like, so it's like, I just thought I was going to be like Fran Lebowitz. Like, I just didn't ever see myself with a person. Like, I just never thought that was going to happen. To this person now at 41, I am more in love with her now than I was when we first met. I am more in love with her now than when we got married, the day we got married. I routinely, after she falls asleep, will lie in bed thinking, I can't believe I'm lying next to this person. Like, I just can't believe that she is my person. But like, even if we, like we're not going to get divorced because we're going to die together holding each other's arms and then turn into a tree. But like, if if we got divorced, like Rebecca would still be my person, if that makes sense. Like, right. Even if we weren't married, I would be like, that. This is the person I am the most closest to in the world. The person that makes me a better person, you know, like, and if she, for some reason, at some point decided she didn't want to be married to me anymore, I'd be like, then you should do what you want. You know, like you should go and do, you know, whatever makes you happy. It would make me sad because I want to be close to her because she's my favorite person. But I don't see her as like a possession or even like,
right,
you know, like a thing, I don't even see our relationship as a thing I earned. It's like a thing I get to experience. And because I let myself open up to that experience, I am now reaping the benefits of opening myself up to it, you know, like, as opposed to like this thing that has to be worked on that, like, if we don't work on it, it'll fall apart. And like, you know, it's like, does that make sense? Like, that's
totally
very cheesy,
it really does.
Very
it really
true.
Does. And I feel like in sort of like a capitalist society that we live in, especially with Instagram, we do post like relationship pictures as if they are like a car or a purse or some sort of status thing that we've earned, like you said. And it's so different loving someone with the freedom of knowing that the future is so unclear. But the one thing I know is that I will always love this person.
And this is the real crazy thing about gay people not being allowed to get married. Like, this is the real crazy thing. I mean, I know, like, whatever, we're past it, maybe, we're not sure. But, like, the idea that, like, I want to stand up in front of all the people I know and I want to say, in sickness and in health, I want to say right. that, you know, because right. I mean it, and I want to be held accountable to it by the rest of my community. You know, like, I want to say it to her. And I know she believes me and I know she feels it, but I want to be able to say it in front of my government. I want to say it in front of my community. I want to say it in front of my parent, my family, you know, like, right. who do not understand really the concept of a same-sex relationship. So to have a formal wedding was very important to me, to say, like, yeah. I am marrying this person. This is not my friend. This is not my like lover. This is not like, this is my wife. So you need to treat her like my wife, the way that you would treat my brother's wife, the way you would treat my sister's husband. Like, that's who this is. And I totally get that that your guys' generation and especially, you know, kids that are younger than you, like, you know, you guys don't have quite that same, what we growing up in the 90s had, you know, which was this very, like, you know, she had the experience of seeing Ellen come out on TV and had the experience of like, oh my gosh, that's me. I'm going to tell my parents I'm gay. I had the experience of watching her come out on TV and enormous amounts of shame in my household, like enormous amounts of like, that's wrong. You know, my dad would call Ellen DeGeneres.
He said that to me the first time I met him.
How did that come into the conversation?
I don't remember. We were on a walk in their neighborhood in Connecticut. And I don't know if Ellen came up. I don't usually bring her up, but I guess she came up somehow. And he said,
you're like one of my many influences.
Yeah. I'm like, let's talk about Ellen DeGeneres for a bit. And he just said, Ellen. Yeah. He's like, Ellen DeGenerate. And I remember being like, just blinking a lot. And we were walking. Right, I don't know. Yeah. You know, now yeah. I would have, you know, I would say something now, but at the time it was my first time meeting the family.
When any like homophobic thing happens, recently something happened to a friend of mine. And we were joking, like, wait, you're like a cis white man. Like, what year is it? Is it 1995? Like, wait, people still have feelings about that? But only to say that I hear you, Leslie. And like, I often think as a straight person, like, oh my God, are people still closeted now? Like, why aren't people like, come on, come out. You have to have one gay character on your TV show or else like you're a white supremacist. Like, what are you talking about?
I think for us, it feels different. Like, it feels totally different. Like, I even remember when Rebecca and I started dating, you know, Sudeikis and I had this conversation. It's just so funny because we literally had the conversation where he's like, yeah, I just don't think we live in a time, you know, in Hollywood where people should feel any kind of concern about, you know, revealing their, you know, sexual orientation or gender identity. You know, like, it's like, this is pre-Trump, you know what I mean? So it's not like he was being insensitive, you know, like, I just think he was being very optimistic about it and just kind of with like being that kind of head in the clouds in a good way, like his little Ted Lasso bit of like, yay, like, isn't it great? And here I am thinking like, I can't, I don't feel comfortable coming. I don't feel comfortable being a gay director. Like, I would rather be a straight director. Female director. I don't want to be a gay
I'd rather
director.
Just be a straight director, not even put female on it, to just get my work done faster. But I think that's my generation too. I think there's so many people who are scared to come out in my generation, but from a straight perspective, it's why, like, I don't know what that fear feels like, so why are you scared? Like, how scared could you be?
Yeah, there's the, like, what's gonna happen? I think people think because we're not in, like, you know, perhaps because we're in an industry where you don't see, like, openly see violent physical hate crimes, people are kind of like, oh, well, you know, you should be fine.
But it also feels like you're talking about sex and not love. Like, to tell somebody that you're gay, it's basically feels like you're saying, this is who I have sex with, but really you're just saying this is who I love. But it sort of feels like you're telling something quite, I don't know.
And that's the root. Yeah. And that's
where, like, homophobia, the root of homophobia is all that.
The root of it is you can't put a gay character in a kid's show. You can't be gay in front of your nieces and nephews, because that means we have to talk about gay sex with them.
Like, no, you don't. Like, the two princesses love each other.
There was some tweet that was like, oh, so they can't be gay because you don't want to talk to your shitty kid. I'm sorry, you have to talk to your kid for 5 minutes, you terrible parent.
Exactly.
I want to make a plug. This is jumping to plug what you guys have coming out, but I do want to say that Leslie is working on Star Wars, a franchise that some of our listeners may be familiar with. And when I was working for Leslie, once she was having lunch with her parents and she looked up at them and said, I should be working on Star Wars. And I remember at the time being, you know, a young female in this industry being like, wow, Leslie's like 30 years old and she thinks she should be working on Star Wars. That's wild. Like, she is crazy. Leslie is currently working on Star Wars. And I really do believe that is a lesson in this false female humility that we're told is sanity.
Oh my God,
we're told, like, you're crazy if you think that you can go on SNL. You're crazy to go do an open mic. You're crazy. Meanwhile, these stupidest fucking people are doing all this stuff because they're male, and a lot of males have an Emperor's New Clothes situation. And their perspective is more like, why not me? Like, I'm the smartest person I know.
If you want to do something and you're a female, like, do it. Like, just do it. Like, just put it on your vision board. Put it on your thing. I mean, like, you don't have to believe it. You really, I'm sure when I said that sentence, I didn't believe it. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's just more that I was like, I should be doing this. This is what I want to do. This is what I will be doing. You know, I love Star Wars. It's something, it's probably the only big IP out there that I would want to spend this amount of time and amount of my energy working on. And yeah, you just, it's you are taught, especially in entertainment, but I think in a lot of industries, it's like, you should just be happy that you're here. You should just be, you know, like, you should just, like, listen, if you made a movie, like, you should just be grateful. Like, you should just, like, don't worry about it. Don't reach too high. You know, like, and it's funny, I must have said it a couple times on that shoot, because one of the producers of that movie I ran into recently, and she was like, I can't believe you're doing Star Wars. You told me you were going to do that. And I was like, oh, did I? I don't know. You know?
No, I'm obsessed with it. It reminds me of Bethany Frankel on Real Housewives of New York, when she's just a young chef.
And please don't let that comparison turn you off from the beginning. Just keep your mind open to that.
Keep listening. So she's selling muffins in a supermarket, and she's a private chef, sometimes has a stand at the farmer's market, and she looks into her camera at her one-on-one, and she says, I'm going to be a massive success. And the housewives say a lot of crazy things, so you just sort of take it with a grain of salt, until a year later she sells Skinny Girl Margarita for $70 million and lives off that for the rest of her life. But it's like, we as women just have this idea of, like, cool your jets. Okay, that's a very nice goal,
There's also this very intense kind of like reaction to women that fail, like who do that. Like right. like Rebecca's on this new Shonda show called Inventing Anna, which is about Anna Delvey.
Yeah.
I can't wait.
So you guys, it's so good. I mean,
it
like
hurts it, my body how much I can't wait.
I can't.
It's so good. And Rebecca is absolutely incredible on it. But that reminded me of it because as I'm watching it, I'm like, the reaction to this person is crazy. Like yes, all the things about her, but it's the cultural reaction, like kind of everybody coming around to be like, great, let's just like pile on to this person and kind of try to figure it all out. I'm like I think Shonda Rhimes may have successfully done the first female psychopath. Like I think she may have done it. Like it's amazing.
If she was a man, this is what the show posits and like what Shonda said, like if she was a man, she wouldn't have gone to prison.
Right.
She would have opened her social club and she would have gotten that $40 million even if she didn't have the money, you know, at home. Mm-hmm. And it seems pretty clear, but she is a sociopath for sure.
And I think the reason Shonda Rhimes is a genius, and we already knew this, but I think this is just further proof that she's a genius, that like the reason female sociopathy is something that's so difficult to make art about is that there's this incredible like insistence on female characters being relatable. Mm. And it's consistently blamed on female audiences as to why that has to be the case. Yeah. It's like, well, women won't want to watch the show if these characters are not properly punished or if they don't redeem themselves, if they don't do something good. And there's something, and Shonda is absolute genius because she cracked it. Like she was able to tell this story, I think it's very truthfully, but in an incredibly entertaining and emotional way. You know, like definitely there's, I'm sure there's stuff that, in it that's not true, but, and Babe is amazing in it. And Katie Lowe is amazing in it. Julia Garner is amazing in it. Anna Chlumsky is incredible. Incredible. Oh my God. She's so good.
Yes. Rebecca is in Inventing Anna as well as Single Drunk Female out now. But I do want to plug so Rebecca's opinion, which keeps me up at night. When the White Lotus swept the isolated people of summer 2021, I was focused on the characters of Olivia, played by Sydney Sweeney, and Paula, played by Brittany O'Grady. And they were the two kind of like clique girls, young girls. And I posted something on my Instagram that said, like, Olivia is in love with Paula, right? Everyone's like, yeah. Rebecca DMs me and writes, no. She writes, she wanted to be her. And that completely, like, a bomb hit my brain. And I have thought about that since. I was like, oh, this was cultural appropriation, but they made it a love relationship where she wanted to become Paula. Only people who think about the White Lotus still will care about this argument. But I was like, wow, Rebecca is so fucking smart. And I think it's why you're such a good actress, is that you are actually clued into all of this so well. As we mentioned before we started recording, we have a very strange connection in that Rebecca is in The Good House, an upcoming movie that originated from Devin's mom's book, The Good House.
Yeah,
that's true.
That's right.
And it is extremely good. I don't know anything about when it's coming it's or what, but I loved it. And yeah, that is a weird
was connection. Your mom happy
that's
with
a,
it
a weird connection that's the that's yeah did your mom see it? She came to set a day that I wasn't there.
Yeah, she came to set. It's so funny because they gave her a I love my mom so much, but she's a self-proclaimed spaz, and like they gave her a cameo in the movie. So she's like, oh, when we watch the movie, we have to look out for the cameo. And her cameo, it's like this bar scene. She's like, this is where I'm in. And the cameo is someone literally like running into her, and she goes like, oh.
I remember her.
We were like, oh, okay, yeah, that's you, all right.
Wait, is Rebecca playing your mom?
It's tough because it's not really an autobiographical thing at all. Like, it's not, the main character is not based on my mom, but Rebecca plays Hildy Good, the main character's daughter.
I saw it in Toronto. It was really good. I mean, like,
yeah,
it's really good. I described it as it's Nancy Meyers meets Fleabag.
I love that.
Yeah. Which
you
I
gotta
was
pass
like,
that
this
on
is.
Dan.
I will.
I was like, this is a genre we need. I was we like, need I that. Need in my life, like, yeah. Like a direct camera with like the most beautiful architecture you've ever seen. Kevin Kline redoing your kitchen. Kevin Kline.
And Sigourney. It's all Sigourney.
She was amazing. That was what I pictured reading the book for that character too.
I couldn't believe
middle school with Sigourney's daughter. And I remember we were like 13. She was in seventh grade. And like most children of famous people, she never talked about her famous mom. Except for one day when Charlotte, her name is, and I were alone together, and Charlotte just looked at me and said, "Do you know that I found out today that my mom is a lesbian icon?" And I said, "Oh, no, I didn't know that." She's like, "I just found it out." And I was like, "Oh, cool." But it was so funny. I was like, something I just hit her that she was like, "You know what? I have to talk about something I just found out today about my mom." And I was like, "You should really watch the movie Alien, because then you would have known that."
Yeah.
You should see your mom in a wife beater smoking, because you would have realized that a long time ago.
You would have known this a long time ago.
Yeah.
But Rebecca's she's friends with Sigourney as well.
Best friends.
This is another thing about Rebecca when she'll say Siggy. And I'm like, what?
No, Siggy. That is not my fault. She insists. She chose the name Sigourney. Her name is Susan. She chose that name when she was 9. And she's like, it's so pretentious. It's crazy. And like trying to get people, because she's so famous, she can't get people to call her Siggy. Because of course, when you say Siggy, you're like, it's like saying Marty for Martin Scorsese. You just sound like a fucking idiot.
No. But I love that. That's so funny, because I love the name Sigourney. And I always have, literally for years, I've thought like, I wish I could name a kid that and then have it not be like, oh, so you're a huge Sigourney Weaver fan. Because like, I can't really back that up. Like, yes, I'm a fan of her, but I'm not like a stan. So I feel like if I was like, this is my daughter Sigourney, they'd be like, oh, have you seen like this movie from 1988? Right. And I'd be like, no, this is its own thing.
There's a meme going around right now that says, is anyone else named Sigourney or just her? Just her. And everyone, just of course, her. Knows who we're talking about, because it's truly just her. But you should do it. It's a good name for
I'm going to do it.
I've advocated for Sigourney as a baby name. I've advocated for it.
Now it's too close to home.
Yeah, she's your best friend.
Yeah, it'd be so weird if I was like, look, Siggy, look, Sigourney. She'd be like, yeah, so creepy. I want true
romance. Leslie and Rebecca, thank you so much for coming on our podcast. We so appreciate you, and you are two brilliant people, and I'm lucky to know you both, mm-hmm. and I'm just lucky to have witnessed your love. And I know that relationships really can change people for the better.
You were there right at the beginning.
Right at the beginning. I remember telling Rebecca, I was like, you got to feed her. Someone's got to feed her when I'm off the clock. You got to get her.
I remember
breakfast sandwiches with cheese. Come on.
Yeah. And you were like, brought her like a lentil salad at 9:30 p.m. I was like, what the hell is happening over here?
I know. I was like, we got to keep her sustenance up.
We have to. I love telling this story because like, When Carolina was my assistant, she would open food in front of me, and I would like, that's how she would get me to eat it. Is that she would open it so that I would smell it and be like, what is that?
And she wouldn't ask for it. I would just be like, she hasn't eaten in 6 hours. She's had 5 coffees and a pack of cigarettes. And she would be talking to an AD, and I would know not to interrupt them, but be like, I'm just going to put the sandwich in front of her, and maybe like, you know, like she'll just catch a whiff and who knows, maybe take a bite. We don't want her.
And now her setup in this office you can see her in on the, you know, that you guys can see her in on the Zoom. I just, a hand appears behind her like this, which is me, of course, with food in it. They'll be like, tap, here it is.
Thank you. Yeah.
Let me tell you guys, here's the deal. And we'll leave with this, because I know we've been here for a minute. But
no,
I'm loving it.
We love it.
When people ask, like, here's the thing. If you want to know the key to success in Hollywood, having a wife. That's really it. Like, that's truly it. Anyone else who says differently is lying, because that is the moment when people are like, how'd you know you wanted to get, because I proposed to her like, when did I propose to you? A year in, babe?
A year, just over a year, yeah.
So like 3 months before that, I remember I was talking about her to someone. They were like, who are you dating now? And I was like, oh, I'm dating a woman. You know, it's like, and I was like, oh, cool. What's she like? And I'm like, oh, she's an actor. And we met this way, and all the things we all just talked about. And then as I was talking, I don't know why it was this particular conversation, but as I was talking, I was realizing, I was like, oh my God, I have to marry this person. Like, if I don't marry this person, it is the dumbest thing I possibly could do. Yeah. Like, I have found someone who is not only incredibly compatible with me, like romantically and all those other things, but she is good at all of the things I am bad at. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, very important.
It's true. Like, I was like, oh my God, it like hit me like a ton of fucking bricks. I was like, oh, you don't, yes, you get married because you love somebody and blah, 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 and all of the reasons that we already said. But I think if you really want to get down to brass tacks in terms of like doing what we do in this industry, I was like, oh, I am a fucking idiot if I don't marry this person. Yeah. Like, if I don't wife this person up. So I went out.
Yeah, you need a helper.
You can't need a help
for helpers too.
That's why when men walk around in this industry and they're like, and then I did this, and I'm like, that I check their thing and I'm like, oh, they've been married for 15 years.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm like, oh, they've had someone caretaking for them for over 2 decades. Do you know what I mean? And it's like, well, yeah, of course they're successful. You have somebody who is constantly helping you, you know, like, yeah. Like, and not just like in the, you know, like domestic work, which women should be compensated for, but aren't, but also in the emotional place, yeah. Because men are not like, you know, they pretend they don't have emotions, but they have them. Do you know what I mean? Like, right. And so they are constantly outsourcing a lot of that to their wives.
If you're an actor, I recommend marrying a writer director.
Right. No, I do too. I think that it makes a lot of sense because you need a sounding board and you need someone to constantly read your shit and hear if you are on the right track or not.
I need her to put me in stuff or a divorcer. Yeah.
But it is like,
you'll leave the ring by the kitchen table just nonchalantly.
I'm like, I'm sorry, is there a white 40-year-old lesbian in this? It's me. Or else.
But also, like, I think it would be hard to find, you know, an artist that you respect who doesn't have a partner that they're looking at and they're going, what do you think? And that person's I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, sorry, but the peek behind the curtain is, you know, if I'm looking at your casting tape, I turn to Rebecca and I'm like, what do you think? Yeah. Like, I'm like, what do you think of that? And she's like, you know, like, or she's like, that's the person. You know what I mean? Like, there are people on a show right now that are there.
Didn't I pick someone on one of the shows now?
You did pick that person. She was like, that's the person. You're not going to beat that person. You should cast them right now. And I was like, okay, well, there's a lot of stuff we got to do and blah, blah, blah. And she was like, that's the person. That's who they are, you know? And it's like, I mean, she's right. You know, like, it's like, it's somebody like the idea. Oh God. If any man that gets an award and doesn't immediately say, first, I want to thank my wife. Do you know what I mean? Like, right. They are lying. Like, they are absolutely, or they're just a dick. You
Joaquin
know what I mean?
Phoenix. He thanks the cows. The cows.
Yeah. We're the cows. You, Joaquin. Well, I also understand. I understand people wanting to be private and all of that kind of stuff. But it's just, you know, the truth is that the amount of emotional labor that women are expected to do in the workplace. Like, I don't know if I would have survived if I didn't have somebody at home that was willing to support me in that particular way, because the it's just crazy. The stuff that is expected of female directors and creators, like, it's just nuts. Like, being able to have a person where I'm like, am I crazy? Or like, how should I handle this situation? Like, here's this weird political, like, nonsense that I don't know. And she's such a people person. That's why, like, coming full circle, that's why I think Natasha made that like kind of jokingly true statement about her being the Alice B. Toklas. Like, she just is she's like kind of the glue of like a person that isn't constantly looking for the, you know, center of attention or the biggest following or whatever.
This is like a Rebecca Henderson compliment podcast. And I think
it is.
We need to wrap it up. I've had enough.
No, I love it.
She's incredibly influential. Like, she's literally like when people say
she's
influencer. That's what they mean.
So Leslie and Rebecca, to end, Leslie, how did you propose?
Okay, so I had that epiphany of just that I just kind of talked about earlier of just like, oh my God, I have to marry this person basically immediately. And so I went out to look at rings and I realized like none of them were her. I was just like, oh God, this is very intense.
That would be scary.
Almost as if,
yeah.
It was very scary. It was almost as if most of the rings are made for the guy buying them, mm-hmm. like not for the yeah. woman receiving them. Like they were all presented to me almost like cars. Do you know what I mean? Like or mm-hmm. like stereo systems. It was like, this one is the blah, blah, blah. And I was just like, none of these feel like my babe at all. Aww. So I go to a jeweler and I go there. She's like, okay, so what are you looking for? And what, you know, blah, blah. I start crying. Like I'm just sobbing every time. I went to go see her every week for like 4 weeks. And like most of the time just talked about Rebecca and just talked about how much I loved her and what kind of a person she was. And she would like bring out jewels for me. She'd be like, what about this and this? And like, now that we've talked, I've kind of been thinking about this thing. So we spent all this time designing her ring. And so then finally I had this ring and I was like, okay, now I have to figure out how I'm going to propose. And so, it was her birthday was coming up and it was, I think her 35th birthday. And so it was kind of like a little bit of a moment. So we're having dinner with all of her friends. It's her birthday dinner. And yeah. I know she wanted this pair of sunglasses. So I got a case of the sunglasses and I put the ring inside the case.
Love.
And then after dinner, the, you know, sort of like before dessert, you know, like afterwards, I was like, I'm going to make a speech. Rebecca was a jerk about it. She was like, yeah. Boo, like, stop talking. I was like, okay,
I don't really love when people are talking about me and like giving me compliments. And I was like, boo, no speeches. Am I right, guys? Like the worst.
Some of her friends knew what I was going to do and some of her friends didn't. So some of them were secretly filming and some of them were just like watching and like, and I said, I was like, okay, I just want to say that I love you so much and happy birthday. And I know you said you didn't want any gifts, but I got you this thing. And I take out the sunglass case. And I'm like, I just wanted to say in front of all these people that you told everyone here that we were going to be together. And I wanted to say in front of all of them that you were right and you will always be right. And then I opened the sunglass box and inside was the ring box. And then she started crying and I got down on one knee and I asked her to marry me and her friends were freaking out, like screaming, like the ones that were like taping were like shaking and holding the cameras. And then people were,
when she had the box, people were like, like they couldn't believe. I mean, and I was crying, like tears going straight out of my eyeballs. Like I knew exactly, like it was so weird. Cause I've never dreamt about being proposed to. It's not something I really thought about. But I knew exactly what was happening in that moment and I could not speak. I was so, so overwhelmed. It was really very cool. And I have video of it.
I remember speaking to Leslie directly after being like, how did it go? And Leslie was like, I got her. Like she was just so excited that you didn't know. Cause she was like, Rebecca is so hard to surprise. And I did it.
Impossible.
She was so surprised and she cried and it was great. And I was like, my God. And I remember seeing a picture from that night. And it looked like Rebecca had like an allergy attack, like face swollen from like red from crying. And she was just staring at her ring. It was so adorable.
I had an audition the next morning, like a callback with this really great director for a play. And I remember like just being like couldn't I just my hand near my face, just like trying to get the ring, him to look at the ring. Did anyone see the ring? It feels so weird.
Do you guys take off my ring?
Yeah. Is this too shiny for the audition? Yeah. It's so weird to wear a ring on a finger that you never wear a ring on and like a diamond, which I never thought I would wear anywhere. Yeah. Romance.
I love you, babe.
Good job, babe. You guys are such cute babes.
We love the
cut to our divorce, right? Like, what if we get divorced and we listen back to this and it's like,
oh, it'll be like,
I take
though.
All her money.
It would be really like iconic.
Such an iconic divorce.
We always make a joke that she's going to be with Florence Pugh. Like, that's her next girlfriend.
Yeah. It's wow. I can see it. Yeah.
Yeah. Whenever Florence comes
upgrade
on.
Upgrade for Florence.
Like, that is that a real be. Upgrade for Florence. Holy shit.
Yeah.
It's really funny that is our inside joke of like, well, why don't you just call Florence? It's like, it's like what? It's like,
if she comes on screen, I'm like, this is where it starts. She on that list?
Thank you guys so much for being here and being in our lives.
We love you guys. We love your podcast. Thank you for having us.
Thanks for being here.
I'm so excited for the young gays out here to listen to this.